Hello everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is September 9, 2024 and the day is Monday. It's a very new day and there's a lot happening in tech, startup, all the worlds which are related to business. Today we're going to discuss first of all the Dubai Metro story, that Dubai Metro has turned 15. Then we're going to talk about how Dubai and Abu Dhabi tourism is thriving with 27.2 billion investment goal. Saudi fintech assets set to hit $64 billion by 2024. Today in the studio, as usual, I am joined by my co-host, Hind Aldah.
Hello, everybody. My name is Hind Aldah. So today we have a lot of exciting news, as Majid said. But before starting off with the main stories, a lot of events happened during the weekend and also this morning. So Majid has more on that in a bit, but before getting into that, the Dubai story is basically Metro turned 15, and just let me pull up the post by Dubai Media Office. So they are the world's longest driverless metro and have spent 15 years on track. With 2.4 billion riders since its launch in 2009. That was when Dubai Metro was launched, officially opened in 9th September. And ever since the openings of their red line and blue line, also not the blue line, excuse me, but the red line, the ridership has increased a lot. It's increased tenfold, in fact. By this year, so they surpassed 767,000 passengers. So Majid actually has more on that to talk about.
Sorry for the delay. There was a technical issue. Obviously, the mic stopped working. But a lot of things are happening as we started the show and said. Dubai Metro has turned 15. But before that, let's talk a little about how Ideals, one of the shop and win e-commerce platform which originated in Dubai 9 years ago, has signed a new deal to go to Mexico. Ideals is a shop and win e-commerce platform, as I told you. You can go shop there and sometimes you get into raffles and draws, mm-hmm. and you can win a car, maybe watches, everything.
A million dirhams, who knows?
Dirhams, yeah. So they have a whole curated list of prizes for every country that they're now moving into. They moved to Lebanon. The first adventure out of UAE for them was Lebanon. They moved there. They started their operations there on 1st August this year. And now they've moved to Mexico. The plans are there for UK and mm-hmm. India now.
But I find it interesting that Mexico was their second expansion. And so I wonder what the reason for that is.
The plan is that Ideals is looking into franchising and partnerships. It's not looking into going there directly as a business. So franchises, anyone who is interested in their business, mm-hmm. They can buy a franchise or they can put them on a partnership deal. So that's one of the reasons they've gone to Mexico. The next stop is UK, which is supposed to happen in the last quarter of this year, 2024. And in the next year, the first half of 2024, they're planning to go to 2025, next first half of 2025, next year. They're planning to go to India, and India is one of the biggest e-commerce network that we have seen. Their own local apps, platforms, e-commerce setups, they're working really good. So tapping into India would be a great deal for Ideals. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, something on the polio cases in Gaza. I just read a news that, let me pull it up so I read the correct numbers. I don't misquote any numbers. So more than 460,000 children in Gaza Strip have now been vaccinated against polio in the first days of an international health drive. And the international health drive is being held in partnership. It's a joint effort by the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees, that is UNRWA, the World Health Organization, WHO, UNICEF and UAE. So these four parties are making it a joint effort to immunize 640,000 children under the age of 10 in the Gaza Strip. The main reason is that the campaign was triggered by a case of an 11-month-old boy who was paralyzed by the type 2 polio virus. That was the first instance of the disease in Gaza in 25 years. So after that, there was an international drive, and now UAE is a part of it. There's a lot of volunteers from the UAE who are working there, healthcare experts and people from the UAE who are working there to help eradicate polio. Just a small note, polio has been eradicated throughout the world. Mm-hmm. It only survived in Afghanistan and Pakistan. That is why I know the story, because Afghanistan removed, there was no cases of polio reported in Afghanistan for like 4 or 5 years. So Afghanistan was off the list. Pakistan was the only country on the list which still had active polio cases. And now, after that,
unfortunately,
this Gaza Strip problem has arrived. So yeah, polio has been eradicated throughout the world, but still there's a lot of things that are happening in Gaza, and a lot of things that Pakistanis, some are anti-vaxxers. So yeah, the UAE is doing good in Gaza. Thank you so much, UAE, for all your humanitarian efforts. Let's move on to the main stories.
Yes,
which Hind was talking about.
I spoke a little bit about Dubai Metro, and I gave them a few figures. But another thing to add to that story is that the Blue Line was announced earlier this year, which will extend to areas. So it'll have 9 key areas, including Mirdif, Al Warqa, International City 1 and 2, Dubai Silicon Oasis, Academic City, Ras Al Khor Industrial Area, and Dubai Creek Harbor and Dubai Festival City. So a lot of important areas, I think, around Dubai, and they're extending, you know, Festival City is almost to the border of Sharjah, and then you have, you know,
Mirdif,
and then Dubai Silicon Oasis. So yeah, very important key points for those that travel on the metro. So
yes, and they are very high populated areas. They're not like they have very low amount of people because the rents there are cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
So rents are cheaper. People live there. Now with the metro, obviously, whenever you have metro connection to any residential
area,
more
people will live there.
Yeah, more people will live there, but the rents will also obviously go up because the demand will increase for those places.
Right.
So just a small history of Dubai Metro. 2009, it started. 20,000 people were traveling by metro on the red line. Then in 2011, the green line opened. His Highness, Dubai ruler Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, he inaugurated the green line as well. He was the very first user of the NOL card, which we all use to travel on the metro. So in 2011, they opened the green line, and then all the extensions were built after that. Today, starting today, 767,000 people use the metro in the last year. So that's a big number. And in peak period, the season where all the tourists are here and there's conferences and a lot of things happening, like the season which is going to start soon in October, 900,000 people traveled on the metro. So that's a very big number. And the project, which is one of the biggest mega projects of Dubai, it's like the cherry on top of Dubai, not only the Burj Khalifa, the Dubai Mall, the world's biggest mall, museum of the future. All these things look great, but Dubai Metro is also one of the most important giga mega projects.
And it's very functional, of course, for people that do not have a car and need to travel to these key areas. So it's a very good...
And most importantly, it's a very cheap option. Because if you take the normal silver NOL card, one trip from one corner of the metro station to the last corner of the metro station takes about 7.5 dirhams. So covering nearly 90 kilometers. Mm-hmm. If you do that in a taxi, you'll know how much it costs.
Probably you'll pay 700 dirhams just getting inside the taxi.
Yeah, so that's a good thing about metro. Metro across the world. I was just seeing the first pictures of His Highness Dubai ruler Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid going on a London metro. And he had Sheikh Hamdan with him as a 10-year-old. So those pictures are really great. And that is where the whole story started. It wasn't just like he thought that there should be Dubai Metro. He actually traveled in the London Metro and he realized that, oh, this is a need for a big cosmopolitan city. So if we're going to build Dubai into the world's best hub for business, for travel, for anything, you need a public transport system.
Right.
And they're expanding it. 2029 is the completion date for the Blue Line. So as soon as that opens, nearly what I read was they're trying to build Dubai into a 20-minute city. So the 20-minute city thing is, it's very simple. You want to go from one corner of Dubai to another corner, it'll only take you 20 minutes. So they're trying to build Dubai on that idea. So that's a very great move. Through metros, through buses, through a whole public transport system, they are going to achieve it.
Yeah. So moving on to our second story. Dubai and Abu Dhabi tourism thrives with $27.2 billion investment goal. So the UAE is investing $27.2 billion in tourism, and they're aiming to boost the sector's GDP contribution to $122.5 billion by 2031. And the contribution, the GDP contribution is rising from 11.7% in 2023 to 12% in 2024. So it's rising. And Dubai and Abu Dhabi are seeing increased visitor numbers and hotel revenues.
Again, in the morning, a lot of things happen when you come in on a Monday. I was reading that according to IMF, Saudi set out a plan. Saudi set out a target for tourists in Saudi Arabia that they wanted to attract. It was around 200 million or something. And it was set to be completed by 2030. But 6 years before 2030, they have achieved the target.
Wow.
So that's a very big number that they've achieved, which they planned out for like 7 years,
wow,
6 years after this.
So
yeah, it's a big thing. This obviously, tourism is not something that these Middle Eastern countries take lightly, because it is one of the highest paying industries, or the highest grossing, or the highest revenue generating industry that is after oil.
Right.
So real estate, construction, tourism, entertainment industry. These are the main three or four big industries that the Middle Eastern countries are investing in. Saudi Arabia is investing in it. Dubai is famous for tourism already. Abu Dhabi is famous for tourism already. So
of
the 27.2 billion investment goal.
Since the Gulf countries are trying to move away from the oil sector, so the next step is looking at tourism. So it makes sense that they're investing a lot of their resources into kind of perfecting the tourism industry and the environment here. So,
What would be your top three destinations apart from, like, do you have any hidden spots that you think are there in the UAE that everyone should come to? Like Burj Khalifa, everyone goes to. Dubai Mall, everyone goes to.
So I would say...
In the UAE. Let's say in the UAE, because you're from Sharjah as well.
Yes, I would say I would focus more on the cultural areas and more, of course, when you go to a new country, you're always trying to look at what the locals, where the locals eat at, where they go to. So I would say in Sharjah would probably be Al Jada, which is more modern these days, but also... you know, we have the cultural square in Sharjah. Also, if you go to Fujairah or Malqiwain, maybe they're not flashy or as flashy as Dubai, but they still have their richness in heritage and culture. So I would say those places.
So if cultural tourism is your thing, if you want to come here to experience the culture, the food, the hospitality, that's the most important part. Trust me, you will never get any level of hospitality which you get here in the UAE.
Yes.
It's way different. You'll feel it if you're traveling here for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, tourism, again, big thing, 27.2 billion investment goal, very good. Hopefully other countries also follow. Abu Dhabi and Dubai are doing it. But again, as hint said, go to the unknown secrets.
Yeah.
Go to Umm Al Quwain, go to Fujairah and Ras Al Khaimah.
Yes. Ras Al Khaimah is actually doing a wonderful job in expanding their tourism sector.
They're also moving from their mineral deposits and their the whole setup of construction work that they were already doing. They were not famous for it. They were only they were not famous for tourism, but now they know that tourism is one of the biggest revenue generating stream.
I believe it's gonna go in a few years. You're gonna see Ras Al Khaimah's name up there with Dubai and Abu Dhabi because they're doing a fantastic job with all the resorts and also all the islands, all the man-made islands like Marjan Island and whatnot. So
already Ras Al Khaimah is there because. Anytime I see a long weekend, I ask my friends where they're going, the couples, married couples, they always say they're a resort in Ras Al Khaimah or something in Umul Quwaim. So I guess those are weekend or the long weekend destinations, but soon they will turn into the main destinations when people will fly in, especially to go to Ras Al Khaimah.
Right.
And they won't come to Dubai. They will go to Ras Al Khaimah and enjoy there and then move. So yeah, all these places are becoming big. UAE itself is becoming big. Hopefully we're here to see it.
Yep. Trust me, we will.
We will be here to see it.
Let's move on to our final story today. So Saudi fintech assets set to hit $64 billion by 2024, revolutionizing financial inclusion. So their Saudi Arabia's fintech assets are projected to reach $64 billion by the end of this year. And this information was shared at the 24th Fintech Conference in Riyadh, which happened last week, by the World Bank executive Jean
Pesme.
And growth is driven by advancements in blockchain, AI, and a very supportive regulatory framework for fintech in Saudi Arabia.
So it matters because significant increase in fintech assets is actually revolutionizing the financial sector. The event 24 Fintech was, I would say, a hint or a very big sign, to be honest, of how Saudi Arabia is investing in fintech. There's like every day you see a new startup rising and getting investment, millions of dollars invested in their startups or in their already established, like 3-4 years established businesses. And they're doing mergers and acquisitions also across the world, not only in the Middle East. They're going to UK, US. They're going there for mergers. They're buying companies. So these fintech companies in the Saudi Arabia, obviously by World Bank executive Jean Pesme saying that they're going to reach the 64 billion mark at the end of this year, he must have seen the rise. He must have seen something in those fintech startups that were there at 24 Fintech. So it's a good sign. Again, everything is a good sign in Saudi Arabia right now. There, I already told you, tourism target they've reached, gaming industry targets they're supposed to reach them by the next year or by the end of 2026. Whatever they're trying to achieve by 2030, the rapid speed at which they're going, they're achieving nearly everything before 2030. So it's a very good thing that they've set a target which is big enough. And most probably they'll revise those targets and increase them for 2030 as well.
Yeah, so they are also trying to be a leader in fintech innovations.
Oh, again, sorry. One more morning story. I read Saudi Arabia has started, once again, it's a very interesting story. I was just going through it. Some AI, first international AI Olympiad also started in Saudi Arabia. So again, not related directly to fintech, but AI they're focusing on. So they're not stopping at anything. That's the good part about Saudi Arabia. They have so high ambitions that it's nearly impossible to not talk about them when you're talking about business throughout the world. Their US assets have hit $7 trillion in equities and shares and bonds. So everything is about Saudi Arabia right now in the world, in the business world especially.
So that is it for our main stories. Majid, can you please wrap up?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about a lot of things. UAE is part of the international set of companies or set of institutions which are doing the polio drive in the Gaza Strip. They have vaccinated 460,000 kids in the Gaza Strip. The target is 640,000. We also talked about how the 27, there's a target set by Abu Dhabi and Dubai of $27.2 billion investment through tourism. Saudi fintech assets are set to hit $64 billion by 2024. Saudi Arabia, actually it started today, the first international AI Olympiad in Saudi Arabia. So a lot is happening. Stay tuned to So Hin will tell you where.
Yeah. So if you missed the first half of the show, you can always find us on all these streaming platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Anghami. You can also find us on TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. We have a daily newsletter that's sent out every morning. And yeah, we have this show as well, which starts at 10 a.m. We try to start at 10 a.m. Every weekday. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.